Thank you for joining us once more again for a powerful teaching and insight on the presence of the Holy Spirit. So today we want to speak about experiencing the presence of God. A moment in the presence of God can change many things in your life. I'm going to say that again. A moment in the presence of God can change many things in your life. John 1 verse 32 and John 3 verse 34 is going to be our study. What we're going to study on the presence, when we speak about the presence of the Holy Spirit and how it transformed even the very life of Jesus Christ while he was on earth, while he fulfilled his ministry on the earth. The Bible says in the book of John 1 32, John gave further evidence saying, I've seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and it dwelt on him. The Amplified Bible says, never to depart, never to depart. So the Holy Spirit dwelt on him, never to depart. John 3 verse 34 says, for since he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, proclaims God's own message, God does not give him his Spirit sparingly or by measure, but boundless is the gift of God. God makes of his Spirit. So boundless is the gift God makes of his Spirit. So he gives the Spirit without limit. Now there's great benefits to have the Holy Spirit in our lives and the presence of God. There's great benefits when we have the presence of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's great blessing, and there's also great disadvantages when we do not have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to have that study today, and we're going to look deeper into the Word of God and understand how can we experience a stronger or how can we then the negative side of it, have a weaker experience of the presence of God and the blessing of God. And we're going to find out that in the measure on how we respond to the Holy Spirit will depend on how we will experience the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Charles Finney said this, one of the greatest revivalists who ever lived, said this, if the presence of God is in the church will draw the world in. If the presence of God is not in the church, the world will draw the church out. I'm going to say that again. If the presence of God is in the church will draw the world in. If the presence of God is not in the church, the world will draw the church out. Now let's look at some of the experiences of those who because of sin and because of willfully sinning, experienced a lesser or the Holy Spirit withdrew himself from them. We're going to look at it from the Old Testament, and we're going to look at it from the New Testament. Those who experienced it and those who, when the Holy Spirit departed from them, what was the consequences thereof? Many examples in the Old and in the New Testament indicate that the Holy Spirit will bestow or withdraw blessings according to whether or not he is pleased by the situation he sees. It is noteworthy that Jesus was completely without sin and the Holy Spirit remained on him and was given to him without measure. So when we look in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came mightily upon Samson, and he came several times upon him. When Samson was in the book of Judges, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. When Samson needed the work of the Holy Spirit, and when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon Samson, Samson did things that were humanly impossible. But through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, Samson could do things that were basically abnormal to the normal human person. Amen. The Bible teaches us many incidents where Samson did great things because of the empowering of the Holy Spirit. But then there were consequences when Samson lived in sin, when Samson lived a life that was contrary to what God required. Samson was called to be a Nazarite. Samson was called to live in a certain way. But Samson willfully fell for he knew it was wrong, and he fell in love with a woman called Delilah. And Samson now went through several type of what we would call, he was disobedient, number one. So he found himself in the wrong place with this woman Delilah. And Delilah had an agenda to find out the secret of Samson's strength. And when she now continuously nagged him and bothered him for knowing the secret, Samson finally gave in. And Samson told her the secret. Now listen to what the Bible says in Judges 16 verse 20. She said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He succumbed to temptation. And the Bible says Samson did not know that the Lord departed from him then. So Samson was one of those type of ministers or preachers that operates under the power of God, but now lives in a sinful state of life, and then goes on doing the work of the Lord, thinking that the Lord is with them. Thinking that the Lord is still with them. And then they come to a place where they never even knew that the Lord has departed from them. And like Samson, he shook himself like at other times, thinking he could still do the same thing. But then the Lord departed from him. And the consequences was disastrous for the life of Samson. And so it is many a times for many of us. When we live in willful disobedience to God, the blessing of the Spirit cannot be fully experienced in our lives, or will not even be experienced. So there will be an extent of the blessing that will be experienced. But when the Holy Spirit departs, the presence of God departs, there are severe consequences. And we will look at it further in the book of 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. The Bible says Saul was persistently disobedient to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit departed from him, or disobedient to the commands of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit departed from Saul. Now we understand in the book of 1 Samuel 16, the Bible then goes, when we backtrack to the earlier parts of this particular chapter, we see that Saul was disobeying God's commands. God gave Saul certain commands, but Saul kept breaking the commandments. In this one, this was the final straw. This was the final straw in the life of Saul. And this was not dealt with very good. This was not dealt with in a good way. When Saul was disobedient, Samuel gave him an instruction: kill everything, do not hold nothing. Then Samuel came to visit Saul. And when he visited Saul, he said to Saul, "So I hear the bleating of sheep. What is that?" And Saul said, I've kept the best sacrifices. And he also spared the life of the king. And Samuel said to him, "But Saul, you were supposed to do everything." Now before this, the Lord has already told Samuel that he has departed from Saul, and that he has raised up somebody else in Saul's stead, which was David. And we see this, that if we continue in disobedience, the Holy Spirit will withdraw itself from our lives. And the Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel 16 verse 14, "Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him." An evil spirit of the Lord terrorized him. So when the presence of God is no longer with us, we can be assured that other spirits will now be tormenting us. And we need to be careful that we continually walk in the presence of God. The Bible says in the book of John 1, like a dove. Jesus was sinless. Hallelujah. And because of this, the Holy Spirit remained upon Jesus. We are not going to be sinless ever in this world. But what we need to do is we need to live in reverence and fear to God, so that the Holy Spirit will continually live and dwell with us. My God, we want the presence of God. Now we see with Saul's willful disobedience, continuous disobedience, caused God to withdraw himself from Saul. According to Bible theology and Bible theologians, it is said this, that Saul reigned in the kingdom, or reigned in his rule, for 2 years with the Holy Spirit. And 38 years, Saul was out the Spirit of the Lord. So 38 years he reigned without the Spirit of the Lord. Could it be true in our generation today that many people are doing God's work without the God of the works? Could it be possible that the Spirit of God has withdrawn himself from many ministries and ministers, and yet we do not see the difference because people are so caught up in the charisma, people are so caught up in how people do things that they miss the main thing. They miss that God is no longer present. There was a preacher that said, A.W. Tozer said that this, if the Holy Spirit was to withdraw himself from the church, we would not even see the difference because so many people in our generation has become so content or so in a way that they have done ministry without the Spirit. We see today the wisdom of the world being applied into the church. We see that churches are built by might and by power, and many and very few churches are built by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, God said, if I build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail. If there's a prevailing of the gates of hell, I then question, is the church built upon the rock? Is it built by God or built by God, if I could say this rather? If it is built by God, hallelujah, if it is built upon Jesus Christ, if it is built according to his method or his design. Because the Bible said, the Lord said to Moses that you need to build the tabernacle according to the design, according to the pattern you have received. Today I pray that we will come into the place where we as the church will build the church according to the pattern that God designs, which is in the Word of God. And because of this, we will then experience the Holy Spirit in a continuous flow. But if we stop building according to the pattern, I doubt we will begin to experience the fullness of the presence of God. And if we continue in willful disobedience, there is a consequence to this. We see this in Isaiah 63 verse 10. Listen to what the Bible says. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned himself and became their enemy. He fought against them. This is a severe consequence. When God turns himself against his people, when God now turns himself against his people, that is something that, I mean, this is a, when you read this verse, it's like a terrifying verse, because the Bible says when we rebelled against the Holy Spirit, they grieved the Spirit. Therefore, he turned himself and became their enemy, and God fought against them. Now, no man can fight against God. If God begins to fight men, man will not survive. Man will not survive. We see this in Israel's Old Testament. We see that every time they were tempting the Lord in the wilderness, the Bible even says that many of them never got to see the promised land. Never, many of them didn't get to see in. Only two entered, but the rest did not enter. They did not enter. You don't want God to become your enemy. There are sometimes many times in life where we will go through things and do things, and we come into a place that we need to understand that we don't want God to be our enemy. We don't want God to be our enemy. The Bible now takes us to New Testament examples of people that also grieve the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And therefore, they did not experience or bring the blessing into their situations. The Bible says Stephen rebuked the Jewish leaders, saying, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Listen to how Stephen rebukes them. He says, you stubborn and stiff-necked people, still heathen and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You are always actively resisting the Holy Spirit, as your forefathers were, so you are, and so you do. And so we read some Old Testament examples of how they resisted the Holy Spirit and what were the outcomes. As we read one of Isaiah 63:10, that God became their enemy, that God was not pleased with them, that God departed from them, that God didn't want to be with them, didn't want to move with them, didn't want to walk with them. And we see this in the scriptures, and we see this in the text. And this is so, so sad when we begin to come across these scriptures and understand that when God withdraws himself from us, church, we don't want God to withdraw himself from us. We don't want God to withdraw his presence from us. We want God's presence with us all the time. We need to understand this. Hallelujah. Listen to what God says to the Israelites in the book of Exodus 33 verses 3. Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey, but I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I would surely destroy you along the way. This is how angry God became with the Israelites, that God said, you stubborn and stiff-necked people. He says, go to the land, but I will not be with you. What is it to possess the blessing of God without the God of the blessing? That's not what I want. Sometimes we think that when we have reached some point in our lives, that we have achieved the success. But what if we were rebellious and stubborn and stiff-necked, and we enter into the blessing of God God without the God of the blessing. We will not experience longevity in the blessing. We will not enjoy the blessing. We will not enjoy the purpose of the blessing. Therefore, some people, when they enter into the blessing and they entered into the wrong way, we find that they don't understand, they don't enjoy the benefits to its fullness. Oh God, forgive us. Oh God, we repent of stubbornness and stiff-neckedness. Come on, somebody. Let's just begin to repent today. Father, forgive us of our stiff-necked attitude. Forgive us of our stubbornness. Forgive us, oh God. Father God, circumcise our heart and our ears, Father, unto you, Lord, so that we will be healed and completely surrendered unto you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, please be merciful and gracious to us, Father. Father, be merciful and gracious to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done in the name of Jesus Christ. So God was angry at the Israelites, at their disobedience and stubbornness and stiff-neckedness. Hallelujah. And so we need to come into that place that God needs to bring us to a place where we are humble, where we are transformed, where we are changed. So when we enter into our promise, that we enter into the promise with God and not without God. My God, bring us to that place where we are healed and humbled in your presence, Father, and seeking your will and your way in everything that we do in Jesus' mighty name. Now we look at the New Testament. The Bible speaks about grieving and quenching. Paul warns in the book of Ephesians, or to the Ephesian Christians, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So Paul is here encouraging now the church in Ephesus or Ephesus, that they need to come to a place where they do not, that we do not grieve. And I believe that this is the word to the generation too, that we must not grieve the Holy Spirit. The NLT translation says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14 speaks about this guarantee. So we understand that he has given us this guarantee that one day is coming back for us. Now Paul says, how do we grieve the Spirit? We need to get rid of bitterness, anger, rage, harsh words, slander, and all types of evil behavior. Instead, we need to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven us. So here Paul says what we grieve, and it now instructs us also how to live so that we do not bring this grieving against the Holy Spirit. My God, somebody needs to get that. Hallelujah. So that we do not bring grievance to the Holy Spirit. We need to live in a certain way. Grievance is the right word, but we must not grieve the Holy Spirit in the way in which we live, in the way we live, in the way we react, in the way we do things. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit. My God, help us. My God, help us. Bring us to a place where we will not sub-grieve. Now listen to another translation in the Amplified translation. The Bible says, do not quench, do not quench. What is to quench? Its meaning, words comes to mind. Do not suppress or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not suppress or subdue the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. That is how we quench the Spirit, when we subdue it. Another word or a metaphor for the word quench is delaying to open the door and therefore disappointing one's lover, as in the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 5, verses 3 and 6. Verses 3. Let's read it quickly. But I responded, and I have taken off my robe. Should I get dressed again? I have washed my feet. Should I get them soiled? I have opened to my lover, but he has gone. My heart sank. I searched for him, but I could not find him anywhere. I called to him, but there was no reply. And so, God, we should not resist. We should not resist. We should not quench. We should be led by the Spirit all the time. We should not resist him. We should not suppress the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. That is to quench the Spirit of God. And so we need to be careful. There is great danger when we grieve the Holy Spirit. And we come back to Isaiah 63 verses 10. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, according to Isaiah 63 verse 10, the Bible says that when they rebelled and grieved the Spirit, he turned himself against them and he became their enemy. God, this is a very, very hard scripture to even take in, to even swallow, to even digest, that God becomes our enemy. my God, that God becomes our enemy is something that we really need to take to heart and very, very serious. Hallelujah. And when we look at this, we need to understand that we don't want God to become our enemy. We don't want God to become our enemy. That's why we must not continuously grieve the Holy Spirit in how we live. We must not rebel against God. We must not rebel against God's leadings, guidance, commandments, and His instructions. Come on, we need to live in total obedience. Another way that we find ourselves that the Holy Spirit is, the Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit and He dwells within us. And we need to be careful that we do not defile the temple of God. We need to keep this temple pure. We need to keep this temple holy. We need to keep this temple sanctified because God's Holy Spirit dwells within us. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Bible says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. So you must not dishonor God with your body. Sexual immorality is adultery, it's fornication, sex before marriage. All of these things fall under the area of or under this sin of sexual sin. We need to ask God that we need to repent. We are living in sin. If we are living in sin and defiling the body of the body which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then we need to come right with God. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. I always use this example. When somebody is pregnant, somebody that's in their right mind, when they are pregnant, they do not eat or drink things that could affect their baby because they know they carry a life within them. And so it should be with us, with the Holy Spirit. We should realize that we carry the Holy Spirit and we should not live in ways that will be disastrous or things that will defile our temple, because the Holy Spirit wants to dwell within us. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell where sin is. My God, the Holy Spirit cannot dwell where sin is. So we need to understand that. Then there's another sin against the Holy Spirit, which is even more serious than grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit. And this one, it comes a stronger judgment. The Bible takes us to Acts chapter 5. When we look at Acts chapter 5, the Bible says there was a husband and a wife who sold their land and their property, and they were supposed to give the money to the apostles. And the Bible says they now came up with the plan with one another, lying, and they brought not all the money to the apostles, and they brought some of it. And Peter said to them, get clear with us and tell us what you are doing. Have you brought everything or not? And the Bible says this husband and wife lied. They lied. And the Bible says the husband first fell down dead, and then the wife fell down dead because of lying to the Holy Spirit. Lying to the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be careful of lying to the Holy Spirit. And then we need to be careful of another thing that grieves the Holy Spirit, is continuous sin, living in repetitive, continuous, presumptuous, willful sinning. This is another thing that grieves the Holy Spirit. And when we live in this area or live in this type, we then grieve the Spirit and the presence of God. For the Bible says, the book of Hebrews warns those who are in danger of falling away, that severe punishment is deserved by the man who spurned the Son of God and profaned the blood of the covenant by which you are sanctified, and outraged the Spirit of grace. For such a person, there only remains a fearful prospect of judgment. We find this in the book of Hebrews 10, verses 29 or 27 and 29. Now, what we need to understand by this portion of scripture is that we must not continue in willful disobedience. We must be careful that we do not go on sinning and sinning and sinning presumptuously. Therefore, David's repentance was so deep, because David understood that the person that did a willful sin needed to die. David understood that what he did with Bathsheba was a sentence of death. Therefore, David pleaded with the Lord and he cried out to God for mercy, because he understood that this sin led to death. And if we continuously live a sinful life that brings shame to the name of Jesus Christ, we are basically trampling the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot, and we are now insulting, if another terminology is used, another word is there, we outrage the Spirit of grace. We outrage the Spirit of grace. And this is something that we need to be very, very careful about. Hallelujah. We need to be careful. Another word says, and we have insulted and disdain the Holy Spirit who brings mercy. When we continue to live the way that we live, we bring insult, we bring outrage, and we need to be very, very, very careful, child of God. Therefore, David knew his sin was so serious when he sinned, and David cried this in the book of Psalms 51. He says, you know, do not cast me from your presence. This was a cry of David. He was so sincere in his repentance because he knew that this sin that he committed willfully was a sin of judgment and death. And David cried out, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, do not cast me from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. That was the cry of David, because David understood that willful sinning outrages the Spirit of grace. And so we need to be careful that how we live before the Lord, because this is seriousness, this is serious sins, this is things that affects the presence of God. And when we live in certain ways, now when we look at some of these things, and we're going to come to the last one, that is something that affects or that will cause the Holy Spirit to withdraw himself from our lives, is the one that is called offense. Now this is one that is last and is serious. One that is the last one, or one of the last ones. There are many other things that the Bible says that, you know, that affects the Holy Spirit, but I've just mentioned a few today. But this one is very serious that Jesus speaks about in the New Testament. Hallelujah. And so we understand that this one is a little bit very more severe, and the punishment is severe, or even the end of our Christian. Basically, there's no turning back from this one. And this one is offense against the Holy Spirit. This is offense, and this kind of offense is even more serious than grieving him or acting with a hardened disobedience to him that brings discipline or judgment. The previous sins that we were talking about is sins that brings discipline or that can bring judgment. So we know that when people were disobedient and walked in a certain way, God would chastise them. They would be chastised, or they will come under severe discipline. And Israel experienced that several times. David went through that same experience himself. But this one on offense is very, very serious. Hallelujah. It is possible. We need to understand that it is possible for us to offend the Holy Spirit. And this will then lead to the point that this convicting work will not be brought or bear or bring any, there will be no conviction in our heart anymore when we do this type of sinning. Jesus said, listen to what Jesus said. He said, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven man, but the blaspheming or the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever says a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. And we see this. People use Jesus' name in vain. People say crazy things about Christ. People even insult Christ. People say all of these things. But yet we find that when people turn to God, God will still be merciful and gracious to them. But there's a sin that the Bible says, when we speak against the Holy Spirit, we will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. And this was said in context to what the Pharisees did, because the Pharisees willfully and maliciously attributed to Satan the powerful work of the Holy Spirit that was evident in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, this scripture is, at times, it can bring a little bit of deep conviction, and it also brings one to a point where you need to understand that if you're not sure if somebody's operating under the Holy Spirit, you need to be careful what you say against that people. Because if that person is doing the work that God is doing through them by the Spirit of God, and you are judging what the person is doing, then you are basically attributing now the work of God to Satan. And this is when you willfully have a revelation, but you maliciously go about doing this. You know that God is saying, this is me, this is what I'm doing, and you still go against it. You have this conviction that it's God, but yet you go against it, and you still attribute this work to Satan. It is dangerous. So since the Holy Spirit so clearly manifested the presence of God, hallelujah, the Bible says those who spoke and attributed this activity to the power of Satan were guilty. And Jesus said of eternal sin. They were guilty of eternal sin. So that tells me that these Jewish people died a Christless death, which means their pathway led to hell. And so when we look at all of these passages that I just now mentioned to you, all these things that will cause the Holy Spirit presence to be weakened or withdraw from our lives, it indicates that we must be very, very careful not to grieve or offend the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never force himself on us against our wills. But if we resist and quench and oppose him, then his empowering power will depart and he will remove much of the blessing of God from our lives. He will remove his blessing from our lives. And I don't think any one of us want to live in that place where the Holy Spirit removes his blessing from our lives if we continuously and willfully reject him. The Holy Spirit, as many have said, is like a gentleman. He will not force himself on you. He's not here to do that. But if we resist him willfully, we need to be careful. Remember that, people, we need to be careful. You know, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 14, verses 32, remember that people who prophesy in control of their spirit and can take turns. So God says the spirit of the prophet is basically subject to the prophet. So the Holy Spirit is not going to control or force himself on you. The Holy Spirit is gentle. That's why the Bible relates to him as a dove. And when we look at the characteristics of a dove and compare it to the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that the dove is a gentle bird. And the dove is not somebody that likes much commotion. Because when there's a dove and it comes and there's much commotion, the dove will depart. And so we need to understand that. And so we need to come to the place where we need to repent of the sins. And I pray that we don't walk into that one sin that the Bible says he who offends the spirit. Now we know this is willfully and maliciously. This is now somebody that knows that they know that they know deep down with inside, like the Pharisees did, that Jesus was definitely the one that was prophesied about, but they rejected him. They rejected him, and they now attributed the works of God to Satan. Now we look at the next thing. What happens when we begin to please God? When we begin to please God. Now I go quickly to an Old Testament story. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel, the Bible says there was a time when the Philistines, if I'm correct, captured the Ark of the Covenant of God and they took it. But when Israel recaptured the Ark of the Covenant of God, they then took it back, but they stored it in a place, in Abimelech's place, at Abimelech's home. But they said for about, the Bible study shows, or the theology says, for 20 years, the Ark of the Covenant remained in Abimelech's home. But there was nothing really happening. There was nothing happening. Even though he had the presence of God in his house, yet he did not experience the blessing of the presence. I believe because he was ignorant of what he possessed. They just anointed him, surely made him in charge of the ark, and he did not even realize what he had in his home. And I think that is what many Christians, many of us as believers, don't understand what we really have. What we really have when we possess the presence and the Holy Spirit. When we really know what it means, we will then treasure this, what we carry, and we will then look after it, and we will then look what pleases him and what brings joy to him and what offends him, and we will stay away from what offends him and what grieves him and what quenches him, and we will rather look to what pleases him. When we look at this, we need to understand that God wants to bring us into this experience, wants to bring us into this counter, wants to bring us into this encounter, into this experience with the Lord. And I pray today that we will come into that experience, and we will come into that fullness where God wants us to operate in, that fullness where God wants us to experience his full presence. Hallelujah. And I pray today that as we go into what pleases the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, on the other hand, in the life of Christians, how we conduct ourselves will bring pleasure to the Holy Spirit. We need to live in a certain way, and then we will experience great blessing. So when we look at the story of the Old Testament of Abimelech, when he was anointed and the ark was placed in his home, he didn't experience nothing. But the Bible says when David recaptured the ark, Uzziah died, and they kept the ark for a certain time period in the house of Obed-Edom. On the house of Obed-Edom. And the Bible says because of this, they kept the ark in the house of Obed-Edom. But because of this, the Bible says for the 3 months, the ark was in the house of Obed-Edom. Now the ark represented the presence of God. When it was for 3 months in the house of Obed-Edom, the Bible says Obed-Edom experienced great, great blessing because of the ark of the covenant. Things just begin to happen for him. And that is what God wants us to understand. When we carry the presence of God, things will begin to happen for us. When we carry the presence, and we're going to look at some of the benefits later on as we look at the presence of God. The Holy Spirit was poured out in its fullness at Pentecost upon the apostles. Hallelujah. And he began to dwell within them because they were now believers, and the Holy Spirit dwelled within them. And he made their home, their bodies now became the temple of the Lord. And I love what the book of Ephesians says, that God gave us, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit, and he gave it to us as a guarantee. Another scripture says that he gave us a foretaste of what is to come. And that is what we're going to see about some of the benefits of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. When we do this, there are great benefits to his presence. Great, great benefits to his presence. Smith Wigglesworth said this: believe that when you come into the presence of God, you can have all you have come for. You can take away and you can use it. For all the power of God is at your disposal in your response to your faith. Hallelujah. Benefits of the Holy Spirit is this: that we can experience close fellowship and partnership with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Fellowship, that is one of the things that many of us need, is that fellowship, that relationship, that communion, that koinonia that we need with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit partners with us in the work of the Lord, that when we go out, the Holy Spirit manifests the word of the Lord. He demonstrates the word of the Lord. He demonstrates the power of God. That is so powerful. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Philippians 2 verses 1, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? This speaks about fellowship. We have the fellowship with the Lord. We have this relationship, this partnership with the Lord. Paul also says that the Holy Spirit will help us in times of weaknesses, in seasons of weaknesses. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That when we don't know what to pray, he will pray through us and with us. He will express himself through groanings. Hallelujah. And that's when the Holy Spirit help comes upon us. When we're in partnership and in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, he entrusts us with gifts. He releases truth within our lives and our ministries. Hallelujah. And he brings us to the place that we are in God and enjoy the presence of God. When we are in the Lord, we can then experience the presence of God. And Jesus even came to the place where he said that we can experience the fullness and the abundance of his presence. Hallelujah. And he said that when we come to this point, Jesus said in John 7, 38 and 39, anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scripture declares rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said rivers of living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who will be given to everyone who believes in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Another benefit of the presence of the Lord is rest. When we are experiencing the presence of God, there is rest. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you. You, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. So when we have the presence of God, we will experience rest. Alexander McLaren said, peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. Peace does not come from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. Therefore, we need to abide in his presence. There are benefits of abiding in his presence too. Hallelujah. The Bible says, in his presence there are fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. In his presence there is fullness of joy, and in his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We can receive divine protection from dwelling in God's presence. We don't need these different things that people are selling, these oceans and potions for protection. We can have the prayer. When we dwell in the presence of God, we can experience divine protection, for his presence brings divine protections, because the Bible says staying in his presence brings us under the shadow of his protection. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I said again, we find peace in his presence. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. God leads and guides us and directs us as we spend time in His presence. The more we spend time in His presence, the more God will lead us and guide us in the ways that we should go. Don't we all need the leadance and guidance of the Spirit of God? Then dwell in His presence so He can lead us. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 73, verse 23 and 24, nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You will hold me by your right hand and you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me into glory. I want to be guided by the counsel of God, for the Lord knoweth the way that I should take, and when I come forth, I shall come forth as pure gold. There is trials that we will go through, there's temptations, but if we know the way of the Lord, we shall then come out the finished product that God desires us to be. Glory be to God. The fire on power of His presence melts away every mountain, every obstacle, and every hindrance before us, and every satanic plans for our lives. The Bible says in Psalms 97 verses 5, the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. Take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. Oh, I love that. I'm going to read that again. They counsel together. They can conspire against you. They can work against you. They can try to work. They can try to work you out or to break you down. But the Bible says it will come to nothing. My God, that is encouraging to me today. I want somebody to take that scripture today. Whoever's conspiring about you in the back, in behind closed doors, whoever's saying things about you, trying to work against you, trying to break you, trying to work against your reputation, it will come to nothing. Hallelujah, but it will come to nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. God is with us. Our fears and our insecurities, our pains and burdens are lifted and are taken away as we come into God's presence. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we come into the presence of God, we will experience rest. Glory be to God. We are changed and refined and transformed in the presence of God. His presence takes away all the chaff and in our character and makes us better people. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 verses 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. Glory be to God. One of the things that struck my heart is that when we even go through suffering for Christ, hallelujah, His presence is with us. His presence is with us, even during the times of suffering. Listen to what the Bible says. Hallelujah. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. You will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God will rest upon you. The glorious Spirit of God will rest upon you. I'm coming now and I'm closing down. Hallelujah. Whatever we do, we must remember we must do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit manifests the atmosphere and the atmosphere of heaven, in our lives. It manifests the atmosphere of heaven in our life. Therefore, it's important that all our ministry be done in the Holy Spirit. That is that we are consciously, that we dwell in a God-like atmosphere created by the Holy Spirit. The atmosphere of power, the atmosphere of love, the atmosphere of truth, holiness, righteousness, and peace are atmospheres of heaven. Then there are characteristics of those atmospheres that is created by the Spirit. And that is the very sense of the Holy Spirit Himself. To be in the Holy Spirit is really to be in the atmosphere of God's manifested presence. This is why people in the New Testament can walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And that is why it is possible just to be in the Spirit as John was in the Lord's day. Glory be to God. Therefore, daily we can experience the rejoicing in the Spirit. We can make decisions by the Spirit. We can have access to God by the Spirit. We can pray in the Holy Spirit, and we can love in the Holy Spirit, because He fills our hearts with the love of God. Therefore, when we do not pray for more love, we need to pray for a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit, because He sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. So praying for more love is not going to help us, but what we need to now get in tune with the Spirit of God, and then we will experience the greater love that God has in our hearts. And the fourth and final point that I close with this, hallelujah, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is possible to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled by the Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the presence of God Himself. And it is therefore will result in feeling what God feels, desiring what God desires, doing what God wants, speaking by God's power, praying and ministering in God's strength, and knowing the knowledge which God Himself wants to give us. In times when the church will experience revival, the Holy Spirit produces all these results in people's lives in a powerful way. Therefore, our Christian lives is important that we depend upon the Holy Spirit power and recognizing that any significant word is done through Him. Therefore, it's not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. Therefore, Paul encourages the Galatian church, continue in the Spirit. Paul asked them this question: how is it possible that you have started in the Spirit, but now you have ended in the flesh? The Holy Spirit supplies us with everything that we need. The Holy Spirit supplies us with the power to work miracles. The Holy Spirit supplies us with the power to endure trials. The Holy Spirit supplies us with the power to walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. If we are led by the Spirit of God, we are declared as sons of God. We need to understand that we need to continuously be led by the Lord. Listen to what Paul says to Galatians, to the Galatian church in Galatia. He says, Galatians 3 verses 3 and verses 3 and 5. How foolish can you be after you starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Hallelujah. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. The Holy Spirit works in us miracles because of we believing. And the greatest of those miracles are the works of justification, sanctification. And one day we will experience glorification. Those are one of the primary works of the Holy Spirit, because He comes in and He regenerates us. And we are a miracle that is walking every day, because we have been transformed. And we are being transformed into the image of Christ. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So as we conclude with this particular message today, we need to understand that we need to walk according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And we need to set our minds on the things of the Spirit of God. Listen to what Paul writes to the church of Romans. He says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature. So the Holy Spirit puts to death the sinful deeds. If you want to know how to get overcome, you need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because He puts to death the sinful desires. And the Bible says, now you shall live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are truly the children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit. And when He adopted you as His own children, now we call Him Abba, Father. For we are no longer slaves, but sons. For His Spirit joins with our spirits to confirm that we are children of God. Therefore, some of us want to feel we are children of God. Some of us want to have this feeling, good feeling. But the Bible says the Spirit will bear witness. The Spirit will bear witness. He will give you that confirmation that you are a child of God. We are not led by feelings. We are led by the confirmation of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty and majestic name. So we need to set now our mind on the things of the Spirit. And Paul concludes, and I concluded this final verse, so that the righteous and just requirements of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives are now governed not by standards according to the dictates of the flesh, but are controlled by the Holy Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires set their minds and pursue the things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is a sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both year and year after. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. And that is where we stop with this particular message today, that we need to have our lives focused and centered on the Holy Spirit. I believe that many of us has come short. Many of us has just heard some of these things, and we are we are at this moment feeling maybe depressed or down because we realize that we have not experienced the Holy Spirit in its fullness because of how we lived and how we reacted to the Holy Spirit and how we treated the Holy Spirit. But today, God's mercy and grace is sufficient. That if you come to Him and seek Him with all your heart, with repentance, God will forgive you and you can experience the Holy Spirit again. You can experience the blessing and the presence of the Holy Spirit in this life. If we do not have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that Paul experienced comfort because of the Holy Spirit. Many of us don't know what comfort feels like in trials because we don't have the relationship with the Holy Spirit, because we have shelved Him. We have put Him aside like an it or something else. But when we are carried along by the Holy Spirit, we will have comfort in the times when people are losing their minds, going insane, people are terrified, people are breaking down. Right now in this generation, I see, and the stats shows that there is such a high level, first of all, or such a high number of mental illnesses and people even committing suicide because people have no strength to endure and people do not have the comfort that the Holy Spirit gives. And when we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, we will experience the blessings of the Spirit. And so today we're going to repent and we're going to ask God to forgive us for all the sins that we have sinned against the Holy Spirit. And we're going to ask for the fullness of the Holy Spirit to come back into our lives and that we will live in the Holy Spirit, and that we will do whatever God wants us to do by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will ask God to empower us and strengthen us, and that we will live our lives under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that's where all of us needs to come to, is to live our lives in a place where the Holy Spirit's presence overshadows us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you maybe have gone through places where your life has been messed up, broken, torn apart, then you need to just come back into the presence of God and experience the presence. Somebody wrote this and said, when every dream gets shattered, find shelter in the presence of God, for His presence changes impossibilities into possibilities. This morning you might have felt that my life is torn apart, my life is broken, I'm at a place where I need God to change, my dreams have faded. But today, as you come into the presence of God, all those impossibilities you have seen before this very moment will now become possibilities. You'll begin to understand again that your life will never be the same, because a moment in His presence can change many things in your life. And you have just entered the presence of God today. You have just entered into the place where God can begin a new thing in your life. The plans of God are only revealed in the presence of God. Draw closer to God. Draw closer, because in His presence, His plans will be revealed to you. You will know what it is that God wants you to do. You will know how to handle situations because the presence of God. Hallelujah. We are to live our lives in the presence of God, child of God. So let's repent. Father, say this prayer with me. Lord, forgive me of sinning against Your Holy Spirit. Forgive me of the sins of grieving Your Spirit, quenching Your Spirit, lying to Your Spirit. Forgive me, Father God. I have not offended Him in maliciously or maybe knowingly, but forgive me, Father, of any sin that I have sinned against the Holy Spirit, and I ask that You wash me and cleanse me. And I pray the prayer of David today: cast me not from Your presence, take not Your Holy Spirit away from me, but restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Be merciful to me today, Father. Today, as I come back, and I ask that You forgive me and that You be merciful to me. And Father, today wash me and cleanse me and make me whole. I ask this in the wonderful, blessed, glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, Father, I thank You that my heart, my life has been renewed. Today, I thank You for a new beginning in Jesus' mighty name. I don't want to live my life without Your Spirit ever again. My God, I come to You and I surrender in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So I believe that God has touched us. God has done a new thing in your life, a new thing in your life. And you will begin to move in the presence and the power of God. And I pray today that God's Holy Spirit and His presence will fill your life. and that you will walk in that place where God wants you to walk. Hallelujah. Because truly there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. And I want to close this. And I believe that God wants us to experience a deeper walking and a deeper place in the presence of God. And we want to walk with God's presence wherever we go. We want to experience God's presence. Hallelujah. And we want to trust God for a greater move and a greater unction of His presence and the Holy Spirit in this end times. Because we need Him like never before. We truly need Him like never before. So I pray that God's presence will fill your heart and your life in Jesus' mighty and majestic name. You need to be blessed today. Go and be a blessing as you carriers of the very presence and glory of God. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Love you, Lord. Amen.